Amen. Are you glad that you're here this evening? Amen. I'm glad that you're here. While they're getting ready, I want to read a couple passages to you. One passage will be out of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. Another passage will be out of 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. And another passage will be out of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Gracious Father, we have so little to say in comparison to your great sacrifice. The only thing left to say is thank you. Remind us how hard it was to give your son for us. Remind us of the pain that he suffered. Remind us of your love. Remind us of the hope we have in you. Refresh our souls with the joy of our salvation. Bless this loaf, Lord, as a reminder of Christ's sacrifice and of the unity of this body. And bless this cup as a sharing in the death of Christ, as we die to ourselves to live for you. Thank you for your love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, the church said,
Amen.
Amen. He grew up, Jesus grew up, like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering, familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Yet today we know him as our Savior, the one whom we call on in our times of trouble, our solemn refuge, our rock. For that I'm thankful. Let's read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's important to mark these scriptures down to understand what it is that we're doing right now and the meaning behind what we're doing. We'll start at verse 23 of that chapter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Every day we know that Jesus is our Savior. But we go through this practice to be reminded literally, physically, emotionally, intellectually, on every level that you can comprehend. This is our reminder of the sufferings that Jesus did for us. He wore a crown of thorns that came from a jujube tree. Thorns that went as long as an inch that was drove upon his head. He was beaten with 39 stripes. The Romans had said that 40 was enough to kill a man, but they didn't want him dead yet.
No.
So they gave him 39. What a cruel number to know that that was the average that it took to kill someone. Yet he bore all of our iniquities, all of our mistakes and shortcomings. He was ornated with a scarlet robe or a purple robe, depending on where you read that from. And if you read about the temple, in the east entrance of the temple, it was blue. And as you went across to the other side, it was red. So imagine when you put red and blue together, what you get? Purple. He was wrapped in purple. He was mocked in his deity, in his lineage. He was spat upon with his beard plucked. He suffered much that we would have a way of escape. He is our Savior. I'm about to preach here in a minute. If you can think about every sin that's ever happened in the world, even when God cursed the ground and brought thorns into it, think about that when he wears the crown of thorns for us. The crown, the thorns were a sign from the fall of man. Back in the book of Genesis in the 3rd chapter, 18th verse. From the fall of man, he cursed the ground and said that it would forever have thorns and thistles. And yet they used this as a weapon upon his head, as if he didn't already know its purpose. He not only bore our sin, but he broke the curse. He not only came that the law would be broken, but he came that it would be fulfilled. There were over 21 different prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Christ from the very moment that he was born into Bethlehem all the way to the end where he was mocked and martyred, beat, spat upon, yet he opened not his mouth. I could go on and on about this. We might have to. But let's go ahead and do this while you have your hands full. The last scripture we'll read from is in the book of Matthew in the 26th chapter. 26th verse. We all have the bread, don't we? We'll go ahead and do that. Go ahead and take this up by your hand. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." As we partake of this bread, think about the suffering that he bore as a human being. The stripes, the crown of thorns, his beard being plucked. This wasn't a pleasant torment, yet he bore it for us all. I'm delivered today because he bore my suffering. I partake of it today because I'm reminded of the life source that he brought forth when he shed every drop of his blood for me. They pulled him off the whipping post and he still had a cross to bear. Blood dripping all the way up to the hill of the skull, which we know is Calvary. Those nails that were driven to the tree of death adjoined him with death, that we would have life and it more abundantly. But church, that wasn't all. He had to give his life so that we could have a new way. Let me read this last part or I'm going to get ahead. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." As you drink of this, let it be the refreshing in your spirit to be reminded that all of your sins from your past, present, and future are forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord Jesus. His disciples were afraid. They didn't know what was to come. But yet he spoke a promise unto them. He said, "I'll go away, but I'll make a place for you." They mocked him as he hung upon the cross. Said, "Well, if you be the Christ, bring yourself off of this cross. Come on down if you be the Christ, if you say that you are him." Yet little did they know that their religion and their temples, everything that they had known, was about to be shaken from the very foundation. I'm reminded in his word that when he gave up the ghost, there was a great earthquake that came to pass. And the temple that they had stood by, the temple that they stood for, the one that they made them feel compelled to put Christ down, began to shake at the very foundation. The temple that we once had to go through to get access to God had been broken. For he was building up a new temple. And in 3 days, when he came out of the tomb, there was a new temple that was raised up within us, so that the Holy Ghost would have a dwelling place inside of us. And he said, "Tarry here for a little while, and you will be endued from power from on high." That God-man became separate when death came, but the Holy Ghost he gave up was the one that we know and feel deep down inside today. And without him, our temple is empty. Without him, we don't know joy. Without him, we don't know peace. That temple is now established within us. You know that that temple is there because of the words that he spoke. To love your neighbor as yourself. The evidence of the Spirit in you is if you have the capacity and ability to love. It will also direct you to understand the will of the Father. For without it, we are walking astray without the knowledge of knowing God's true will. It's just amazing to me. And I was talking about this morning. I walked around at the Vatican in Rome. You just cannot imagine and comprehend the amount of money and effort that was put into putting together such a building. And I remember looking up, and it was stories upon stories of stone and gold and silver and figures that were carved by hand. No doubt hours and hours and days and years of labor put into these buildings. But how many of you know that it's not in the building? And as beautiful as it was when me and my wife were going through there, I was thinking to myself, I wonder what it would have felt like to have been in the temple that day that it got all shook up. Hallelujah. When he gave up his life and the earthquake came, the centurion knew then who the true God was. They didn't have to say, come down, for they already knew that something had happened. So we partake of these things today to put into remembrance of our spirit, because we forget. We get busy. We get numb with the world's trials. We're forgetful of what has already been done for us. I remember hearing my mom all the time when I was growing up just said, if you only knew all that I'd done for you, you'd never talk to me this way. She'd remind me all the time, if you only knew what I'd already done for you, the good things I'd given you, then you would never, ever act like that I've never done anything. Yet that's how we are in church. So that is why that we partake of this. This is why that we partake of the bread. You've got to understand that he gave up two things in that process. The life force of his body and the life force of his blood. The body was broken so that we as flesh could be healed. So that we as flesh could be free. So that our emotions and our physical nature would have deliverance. But his blood came so that the inner nature of a human being could be different. So that an addict like me could have sound mind. So that somebody like me that was an old drunk would be able to walk and be delivered by his spirit. I'm here right now because I partook of that meal one day, and I realized that if I'll just hold on, that he'll give me power from on high. Somebody help me preach right now. Do you have the Holy Ghost down in your temple? Do you feel the ground begin to shake? Do you know that he has given all of you access? We know of these acts. We read of them in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Go and read it. And when the day of Pentecost had come, that promise he spoke to them about another comforter was fulfilled. There were people that gathered in one place of one mind and one accord. And as the Holy Ghost began to move, it was like a mighty rushing wind. It began to move in the midst of those that were willing to come together. And friend, you might think that it was left back at Pentecost, but I'm here to tell you that the power of God is just as much alive today. For if you were saved ever in your life, you know what the Spirit is. You know what it feels like. And you felt that wind come by your way. What a refreshing it is to feel the Holy Ghost. Our temples are too full at times with worries and cares and fears, disgusts and angers and envyings and jealousies. We almost don't have room for just a little bit of a good time. People that are trying to encourage you get exhausted because they don't know how much of a mess you're trying to put inside of you. But we have to partake of the suffering of Christ before we'll ever inherit life. The journey of Christ was showing us that through love you can suffer unto life. He traded away his crown of thorns so that he could have a crown of life. And tonight some of you are suffering with things right now. And God has met this revival come to this night so that you would know and understand that it's going to take love to overcome this. And it's going to take long suffering to overcome this. And it's going to take patience to overcome these things. The devil would have had you give up. But I'm reminded of that body that was broken for me. All the lashes that were ripped from
his skin and all the skin that was ripped apart and how they threw that robe on him and mocked him, fell before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." All the mockery that we face today is no different from those religious back then. But I want to be like that sheep sent to the shearers so that I don't open my mouth. For having done all to stand, it didn't say lash out at your brother when they made you mad. It said having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, and see the salvation.